Welcome to Art on the Airwaves with Cammie Davis on KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. Art on the Airwaves is a show about art and the business of art. And I'm really excited. I was checking out my podcast analytics yesterday. So along with doing Art on the Airwaves on community radio here in Ashland, Oregon, I also upload it for different podcasts. It is now available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and Stitcher. And I was checking out the analytics for that yesterday, and I'm kind of excited because we have thousands of people now who listen to it. And the reason that excites me so much is that people are becoming more aware of art and how you can use it to inspire your life, as well as how amazing the art and culture is here in Southern Oregon. If you're listening to the podcast and you're out of the country or out of the area, and I know there's quite a few people that do, if you haven't been to Southern Oregon yet, now's the time for a visit, because I got to tell you, it is gorgeous here. I was driving to the station today, driving into Ashland, and we have blue skies, finally after a little while of smoke from the forest fires around us. But the blue skies appeared again, and there were clouds, big fluffy clouds, and the mountains surrounding Ashland, and it was just so gorgeous. So culture, art, and beautiful nature here in Southern Oregon. I sent out my newsletter yesterday, and it is a monthly newsletter that I do. So if you sign up for it, don't worry. You only get one newsletter a month, and that is it. And I talk about the different things that are going on in my world of art and try to include tips for artists and entrepreneurs. I'm also going to start offering occasional deals for subscribers. So this time I was able to offer a special for Eat Magazine for subscribers to subscribe to that for a special deal. So that was on my newsletter. Next time, I'm actually going to, in October's newsletter, I'm going to bundle some of my discontinued art jewelry that I make and offer it for a huge discount to people that subscribe and to kind of clear out my inventory and move on to the new products that I'm creating. So to subscribe to my newsletter, just go to cammiedavis.com. There's a bar right up at the top. You just enter your email. It's cammydavis.com. So one of the cool things that I did this morning, actually the funnest thing that I did this morning, was I have an exhibit coming up. It's the biggest exhibit that I've done so far. It is a solo exhibit at an art gallery in the Pearl District in Portland, Oregon. I'm really excited about it, and it is for the month of October. The opening is October 1st. If you're around Portland on that night, come to the First Thursday Art Walk in the Pearl District. Mark that on your calendar if you feel like it. But getting ready for it, one of the cool things that I'm doing is I'm creating a video about the exhibit. So the exhibit is called Letting Go. And as I was trying to put voice to kind of the art that I was creating for the exhibit, I spoke with one of our guests today, Martin Ball, and asked if I could use some of the music from his CD. And I went through his CD. When I found the song Eagle Quest, I knew I had found the right song. So I created a painting to it called Letting Go. And this video is about that. The concept behind it is how I was getting bogged down by other people's criticism, and I was letting it affect me. If people criticize me, I tend to feel like I'm in a cage and I can't get out. I wanted to find my own wings with my art and, of course, with my life as well. And as I was editing the video this morning, I really think I've created that. So I'm excited about that. We're going to talk to Martin Ball about the creation of that video in a little bit when he's on. We're also going to hear some of his live music. And that song, Eagle Quest, is going to be our closing song today. So you're going to want to listen to the end of the show for that. So let me read a word from our sponsors. And then we're going to go to our first live song by Martin Ball. And when we come back from that, we're going to speak with our first guest today, which is Colin Pope from Eat Magazine. He is calling live from Australia, and I know it's a different day. It's really intriguing to me. It's a different day there, and it's some ungodly hour of the morning there, too. So we're going to see if he's had his coffee yet in a few minutes. So now we're going to go to our first song by Martin Ball. Welcome to the show, Martin.
Thanks, Cammie. It's great to be here. It's fun to be on this side of the interview mic.
I know. It's really different walking in here. The two times I've been in the studio with you, you've been interviewing me.
Yeah.
So it was really weird to be on the other side of it, but it's nice to see you there with your guitar in hand.
Yeah, it's fun. Usually I don't get to play music on the radio, so
I know. You did a show where it was about local musicians, and yet you were never the one playing. So I was like, oh, my God, I need you playing on my show. So I'm really excited that you're here. What song are you going to play for our first one?
Just
even his is rhythmical. Did you guys notice that? It's like musical. Like
I'm going to play, it's actually a pretty old song. I think the name is called Light as Air. I forget the names of my songs a lot because to me, you know, it's all just sets of chords and whatnot. And the name is kind of the last thing that happens.
Right. Yeah. You know what? It is for my paintings too. I name them the minute I'm done with them. Like it comes to me and that's the name of it. And I'm done. Typically, like if I'm painting to a song like yours, I guess I didn't name it. No, I didn't, because your song is Ego Quest. I did name yours at the end, Letting Go, because when I was painting it to that beautiful music of yours, that's what I felt like. I feel like I was letting go. It was amazing.
Nice.
So that's cool that that's what you do with your music, too. Okay, so here is Martin Ball. So pretty. That is gorgeous, Martin. Thank you so much. Martin's going to be on again with another live song after we talk to Colin Pope. So let me put him on the air right now. Colin, are you there?
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Cammie. Can you hear me okay?
Hey, we can hear you great. Listeners, this is Colin Pope from Eat Magazine. He's calling live from Australia. And Colin, I know it's some ungodly hour of the morning, and it's even like a different day there, right? What day is it?
That's right. So thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. So it's now Saturday morning. It's about 6:15 a.m. in the morning. And we're at the beginning of spring. We've just had the first day of spring. I know that you've just moved into fall, and so, yeah, it's a really beautiful time of year.
Oh, my God, that just blew my mind, because not having ever traveled outside of the States, I didn't even think about it being a different season. What an airhead am I? It's spring there, and now we've just completely entered fall, like overnight. It was weird. Wow, that's interesting. So, Colin, let's start by having you tell the listeners about Eat Magazine.
Yeah, sure. So I've got the latest edition in front of me on the iPad, and of course the article that I'm looking at is the article by Chris Foster, which you had sent us, and I'm just looking at some of his images in the iPad. Absolutely amazing. And so, in actual fact, when I look at it, we've had quite a few artists now from Oregon, and I guess that's in part of our whole keeping, is that we've always, in one way, we've not only had artists from the US, but we've always had artists from Australia as well. And we're going to sort of begin to mix that up a little bit more as we go ahead and bring in other artists from different parts of the world. But it's always been a very US-Australian-centric edition, I guess.
Yeah, I love that. The article that he is talking about is Chris Foster, who's an artist from Portland, Oregon, that I had interviewed and did the article for Eat Magazine. And Chris was on Art on the Airwaves. He was a call-in guest a couple of shows ago. If you missed that or any of the other podcasts, you can go to artontheairwaves.com. Under podcasts, you can listen to the interview with Chris Foster, the live one. But the article is even more fascinating because it has these beautiful images and has more in-depth information about Chris. If people want to read that article, Colin, how do they do that?
Well, look, if they've got an iPhone 5 or 6 or an iPad, they can just go to eatmag.com, which is eatmag.com. And all of the podcasts that are loaded there on the website, each one of them has a picture, an image of the cover of the magazine, and they just click on that and they can download it. We've started, I guess I need to call it a fall special, but here we're calling it a spring special, of course. And you can get three copies of the magazine for $3.99 now till the end of the month, the end of September 2015. And so, look, it's a fantastic deal. It's three magazines for $3.99, and we're doing this as a thank you, I guess, to our readers, and also as part of our launch of the podcast as well.
I love that. Now EAT, E-A-T-T, stands for environment? No. Tell me what it stands for, Colin.
Environment, art, technology, and travel.
I knew that. I was close. For some reason, when I started saying environment, I went, ooh, did I get that wrong? Yeah, so he has a bunch of really interesting articles in it, and that was how we first met, as he had contacted me about doing an article about my art, so I really appreciate that. So let's talk about you moving into podcasts, because I've listened to probably 5 or 6 of your podcasts, and I find them to be really informative and interesting. So why the switch, or not even a switch, it's an addition to podcasting, and what, if people listen to your podcasts, what information are they going to be getting from them?
Yeah, sure. In answer to the first part of your question, I've never actually told this story before, so I might as well do it now. And look, I had a couple of friends who said to me a while ago, about a year ago in actual fact, look, I think you should do a podcast, And I was like, no, because the magazine, I guess we just started the magazine, it was really starting then to take off, and I didn't want to kind of get distracted. I wasn't actually really sure if I wanted to podcast. I wasn't really listening to podcasts, and it was a no way kind of a thing. And then
right.
and then one night I'd gone to see my friend on the train, and I had a couple of beers before I went up there. And
that always helps with major decisions.
And we walked up to the dam, and we normally sit up there, and you can watch the kangaroos come down. They sit on the other side of the dam and drink, and we sit
no.
on the other side of the dam and we have a beer and watch the sun go down. And then I said, okay, let's do one now. It was amazing, and I've never looked back, and it's just been incredible. I guess you were talking about looking at your analytics, and that was something that that I didn't want to do for a long time, I guess, for the first 3 months since I'd been podcasting, because I was kind of terrified. I wasn't really sure how many people were listening, and I didn't really I didn't want to get distracted by that, by having lots of people or not having many people. And so I never did that for quite a while. And then, we did that. Well, I had a look a couple of months ago, and it was just, it was phenomenal. We within a short space of, I don't know, I think like 4 weeks, we gained an extra 1,000 listeners. And that was without really much marketing or anything. And it sort of mind-blowing.
That is so cool. I didn't know the story was going to involve kangaroos, by the way, so I love that addition. Thank you. That was awesome. I've never seen a kangaroo living here in Oregon. What I think is so interesting about your podcast is that you include a lot of different people and interviews that are doing different types of entrepreneurs. That's what I'm trying to say, so that as an artist going through and listening to them, I was able to pull something from every podcast. So it's like I want to go and listen to all of them. I don't want to miss one of them. One of the things I'm wondering if why people are relating so well to podcasts, because here's what I find so relatable about them, is that I'm so busy. I'm always painting or I'm working on the computer. With podcasts, you can turn it on for background. You've got the audio going, and yet you can still do your work. So that's why I'm finding myself listening to them more and more now that I finally, you know, found the ones I like and how to easily access them. What do you think?
That's right. Look, I think there's actually a lot of reasons, and I'm not sure that I know all of them, but I've got some ideas around. Certainly, I mean, I know a lot of people, particularly in the startup entrepreneurial side of life, who just, you know, they are on such a steep learning curve. They realize that their businesses, in order to get them off the ground, they almost need to be learning 24 hours a day. And of course, you know, you don't want to spend that much time in front of the computer. I think a lot of people are kind of over screen time as much as I know everybody when they commute to work, they're all looking at their phones.
Yeah.
Some of them are not looking at their phones, though. They're actually listening to podcasts. And I think for a lot of people, you know, I get messages from people all the time saying, yeah, look, I'm doing a great road trip. I'm taking like 5 of your podcasts with us. And,
oh, very cool.
You know, this kind of thing, and people listen to them when they're running. Somebody sent me a message the other day saying, I'm just doing the dishes listening to your podcast, which I thought was kind of funny. And I think I think there's another thing that you said, actually, which is a really important, and that is that I think a lot of the stuff that's coming out of podcasts, particularly within, I guess, the business arena, is to do with a lot of that stuff's not easily found online. So even though people might be blogging and posting about it, it's not always easy to find, and it's not always really easy to understand the depth of how important it is that whatever people are doing when they say, look, this is something I really tried and it really worked for me. Does that make sense?
You know, it does. And what I found with interviewing people on my radio show, which, of course, I'm now posting as podcasts, because I found them so valuable. And I think the reason is people will say, oh, I've never been asked that question before. I think when we sit down to write, like, you know, our brain is working and we're dissecting and we're thinking about what we're writing and what we're putting out there to the world. Whereas when you're on podcasts, especially if you don't edit them down, which I know you and I, neither of us do unless there's a major blooper in them, we post the whole thing. And I think that, except for, you know, like content length or whatever, but I think that's really important because you get the genuine answers from people. I mean, sometimes they're rehearsed, but a lot less. You're getting information that you're not going to find in written form online. So it's less edited. So I think that's partly why people are responding so well to them, too. What are other things that we want to talk about today, Colin? Because I know, sadly, I really could talk to you forever, and I know we're going to plan another to have Colin on again now that we know having him call from Australia it actually works. And we're talking about possibly in January, but you can find all of my upcoming shows on artontheairwaves.com. But we are a little bit limited on time today. We've got another 7 or 8 minutes. I know one of the things that I wanted to ask you is if artists or entrepreneurs have an article or a podcast or something that comes out, what is the best way that they can use that to promote themselves? Like, how do they get people to see or listen to that podcast or see the article in Eat? How do they use it to their advantage?
Look, that's something that we've actually been doing a lot of work on. And one of the interesting things which I've been experimenting with lately, which has been I think it's been phenomenal, actually, is some stuff on LinkedIn. And I can't really talk to it now because I realized after I explained to somebody and they didn't really understand what I was talking about. They didn't kind of get it. So, but I'll give you an idea because I'm going to create a video for this. It's going to come out in our newsletter in the next couple of weeks. So if anybody wants to sign up for that newsletter, they can go to eatmag.com and there's a blue box there that says get weekly updates. We never actually get around to doing weekly updates, normally every couple of weeks. But, and look, there's two streams of traffic in LinkedIn that I think people don't utilize at all, and I think they're really important. So I'm going to be creating a video on actually how to access those streams within LinkedIn. And these are two groups of people that really want to hear from you, and I think a lot of people don't take advantage of it. And as I've been testing this over the last couple of weeks, it's been phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
So I think that there's plenty of links there. I think Instagram is fantastic. We have only been on Instagram for the last few months.
I love Instagram.
4,000 followers, yeah. and so I think there's a lot of stuff there. I think Periscope for artists could be fantastic. And we're actually having Kathy Hackle, who is the director of the Periscope Community Summit, coming on the podcast shortly. This is the first Periscope user-generated conference. It's in New York on the 22nd of September, the 24th. And if your listeners go to periscopesummit.com, they're going to be streaming out sort of behind the scenes. And I think if artists begin to connect on some of these new tools coming out, Periscope, that sort of thing, that they can really visually get their work out. So I think there's still lots of really good stuff happening on social media that people perhaps aren't using as they could. And the other thing, of course, is that we know that there's some arrangement now between Twitter and Google, and I've been testing this as well. So I know that if you go onto Google and you search for Eat Magazine, EATT space magazine, if we've put a tweet out that we've created, not one that we've retweeted, but we've done one ourselves, we put that out, that'll come up about five or six posts down the front page. And this can be really good for artists that want to get their brand out, is to set up this live stream. Now, of course, how do you set all this up and you know, particularly on Twitter, you know, how do you automate these things? Because I know that for people there's a lot of issues around, you know, you don't want to log in every day and sort of tweet every day. But there's a great thing called Buffer, buffer.com. So we're going to be putting the link to that in our newsletter as well, just showing people how to automate things. So I think there's a lot of room in certain areas for people to really take advantage of.
Wow, I hadn't heard of a couple of those that you mentioned, and I know you mentioned LinkedIn to me, so I've been wanting to research that. Great information. I think I'm signed up for your newsletter, but I'm definitely going to check when I get home because I want this information. This is fantastic. I know a lot of people get kind of bogged down by social media about how many different options there are and how to best use their time, and I think it's kind of all about figuring out what works for you and finding the... like one of the things I do is with Instagram, when I post on Instagram, I can click Facebook and Twitter and it automatically posts for me. So it's finding ways like that. And it sounds like Colin has a bunch of information on how to utilize these different areas of social media to help you as an artist get your information out there. We've got about 3 minutes left, Colin. What is the last thing we should talk about?
Well, look, I just wanted to say the second part of your question was, you know, in terms of the podcast content, when I look at the stream and there's so much, we've done a lot on startups, we've done a lot of artists, we're going to continue with that theme. We've got an amazing travel section coming up, which is opening very shortly, and I would love some of your KSKQ listeners to join us for that. We are going to a couple of islands. I can't name them yet until we get the first series out, and so by all means, come to eatmag.com and you can join the stream. There's a whole lot of different ways of getting to us on the podcast stream. You can get to us through Stitcher and Spreaker as well. And speaking of Spreaker, we've got Rob Greenlee, who is the head of content at Spreaker, coming onto the podcast. He was the CTO of Podcast One and he was the manager of podcasts at Microsoft previously. And I think he's going to have some really good information as well for not only entrepreneurs but also for the artists listening. So I think there's a lot coming up. And I guess the other thing is that we've got an interview with you, Cammie, and I just realised that in actual fact I think you've given us, is it 10 top tips from the two trips that you did to San Francisco and Seattle, is that right?
Yeah, I'm really excited for that podcast to launch because Cullen called me after I had done, they were my second and third trade shows that I had done, and he asked me, this is one of the things I love about Cullen, is he's always interested in putting out information for other entrepreneurs. So he asked me to give my top five tips from each of the trade shows, and I do think they're really valuable just because if you are interested in getting your product out in that way, and I think even if it's not just a trade show, I think it translates to art festivals and other types of marketing yourself like that, like in a booth table, you know, that type of situation. Having some information when you walk into it, because it's really hard to visualize otherwise. So I loved him asking me those questions, and I think the answers were valuable. And I'm really excited for the podcast to come out, Cullen. Do you have an idea? Is that in the next week or two?
Yeah, look, it will be coming out in the next week or two, actually, which is good. And it's the other thing that's happening in the magazine, which is not there yet, it's going to appear magically tomorrow. This is one of the things I love about this magazine, is that it's sort of, even though we publish it, we can every couple of weeks put an extra thing in now and again. We can upload our extra podcasts. We've got a book coming out. I can't talk about it at the moment. It's not here.
So many teasers.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think that the whole marriage now between the magazine and the podcast and the newsletter is really opening it up, and it's really allowing us to give people stuff that's valuable. And I suppose when I talk about value when it comes to social media, I'm always talking about time in, results out. And I think there's lots of ways of doing things where you're not spending so much time on that, but you're getting some real value out of it.
That's amazing. Listeners, I want to give you a number that you can text to if you'd like a copy of Eat Magazine. Text EATTMAG to 1-480-418-1411, and it will send you the link to subscribe to Eat Magazine. And Cullen, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate you getting up so early in the morning. I'm sure you're going to want to go have some coffee and breakfast now, but I really appreciate you being with us.
All right. Thank you very much, Cammie. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye, Cullen. So this is Art on the Airwaves with Cammie Davis on KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. And we are going to our next song with Martin Ball. Martin, what is the second song? Oh, I'm not going to ask you the name.
I can tell you the name. I know what I'm going to do for this one.
Okay.
This one's called Turning the Dark.
Ooh.
Which recently I've split actually into two different songs. So there's like part one and part two, but I'm just going to play it all together.
Oh, my God. I'm fascinated.
This is the original.
I'm fascinated. It sounds dark and ominous, and I cannot wait. So here's Martin Ball. beautiful. I love that. So we are on Art on the Airwaves with Cami Davis, and my studio guest today is Martin Ball, who I'm so happy to have to be interviewing him, because every time that I've been in the studio with him, he's been interviewing me. Welcome to the show.
Thanks again, Cami.
I feel like you should be asking me questions. I don't know. This is just throwing me off a little bit. Actually, the first thing I want to talk about is, how many different instruments do you play?
Well, it kind of depends on how you count. So I play guitar, but that's both 6-string and 12-string guitar. And in the 6-string guitar, I usually play that in 2 different tunings. So right now I have it tuned to an altered tuning. It's actually my own private tuning. I've never met anybody
who uses it. What does that mean?
Well, a standard guitar is tuned going from the highest string to the lowest string is E, B, G, D, A, E. That's the tuning of the string. So okay. Right now I have the guitar tuned as E, B, F sharp, B, A, E. So that's my own private...
A little wild and crazy.
Yeah, it's my own private tuning. I came up with it when I was around 19 years old. And then on the 12-string guitar, I usually keep that tuned to a form of D. So I either use dadgad or I use an open D tuning, and then I also use an open D minor tuning on the 12-string. Huh. So that's, you know, it's kind of, in a sense, it's sort of like 5 different instruments, because the chords are completely different if you tune your guitar to an altered tuning. And I like doing a lot of open chords, which is why I do the altered tunings on the guitar. Mm-hmm. So then I also play bass guitar, though I should qualify that with my bass guitar has been sitting in the corner for a number of years. So I haven't really been playing it, but I used to play that a lot. That was one of my first instruments. Mandolin. And I also play keyboards, and that gives me access to just as many instruments as I can fit on my computer.
Yeah.
Let's see. Then a variety of percussion instruments. So like djembe, dumbek, talking drum, congas, bongos, frame drums, rattle shakers, et cetera, et cetera. I play a little jew harp, also sometimes called a jaw harp. It's one of these little metal twangers that you hold in your mouth. And you go,
oh,
dang, 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 dang.
Cool.
Play didgeridoo. Native American flute, and also a couple different South American flutes, a little Irish penny whistle, harmonica, and I also do throat and overtone singing.
I was going to say, don't forget to mention your own instrument, because it was at that coffee shop, Broadway Coffee? I don't know. The first time I heard you do like this thing with your throat, and I was like, oh my God, that's like its own instrument. That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, throat singing is pretty much the same as playing a didgeridoo, except you're vibrating something. I don't even know what part it is. You're vibrating something in your throat. Whereas with the didgeridoo, you're vibrating with your lips, and with throat singing, the interior of your throat and your mouth is the resonating chamber, and with the didgeridoo, it's just exterior. It's the tube that's outside your body.
I'm speechless. I cannot. I love music. Like, I live my life by music, and yet I am not musical. I can't play anything. I'm sure I can't sing in tune. I don't even try anymore. Can you spontaneously do one of those throat things, or am I totally putting you on the spot right now so people can hear what it is? Oh my God, that is so cool. Yeah, I can't do that. That's so intriguing to me. So what started you in music? Like, it sounds like, did you start from a young age?
Well, when I was really young, my sister and I took piano lessons, and that was actually only for a few months, and then our piano teacher moved away, and we got a new piano teacher, and neither my sister nor I liked the new piano teacher,
so that
ended. So I think we maybe had like 6 months worth of piano lessons when we were really young. And then my dad used to like to buy me like little Casio keyboards, like these little tiny things. And, you know,
oh, I want a picture of that.
So I always had one of those, and then it was around, I think I was about 14 years old, where we used to spend summers in Santa Cruz in California, because my dad would teach summer school at UC Santa Cruz.
Where did you live?
In Chico, California.
Oh, okay, okay.
So about, you know, 3.5 hours south of here.
Yeah.
So we used to go to Santa Cruz, and when I was 14 years old, I just kind of had this epiphany. I was listening to the radio, and I think I was listening to The Cure's song, Why Can't I Be You?
Okay.
Which is The Cure is one of my favorite all-time bands. So I was listening to this song, and yeah, I just had this epiphany where I was just realizing that, well, I could do this if I wanted, that, you know, I just have a way of listening to music where I really pick it apart. I listen to, here's what the rhythm guitar is doing versus the bass guitar and the lead guitar and the keyboards and the drums. And so really kind of analyzing things as I listen to it and figuring out, oh, this isn't that hard. I could do this. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I started messing around more on the keyboard. And then later, about a year later or so, I bought a guitar, and then shortly after that, I bought a bass guitar, and I've just been collecting instruments ever since. And, you know, I am completely untrained musically. Like, sometimes musicians, like, try and talk music to me, like, oh, well, this is a minor diminished seventh with a suspended. It's like, look, I have no idea what you're talking about. I can't read music. I don't know anything technical about music, but I love music, and I love creating as many different styles and kinds of music as I can. So for me, that's what's fun about music, is that I get to sit around and I can make whatever I want and always try out new things. So it's a lot of fun.
That is so cool. And when you said, I love music, I mean, that was it right there. Like, you just had me beaming when you said that. I think that's the passion for whatever creative outlet that we have that is so inspiring to other people. That you inspired me when you said that. I have to make a comment on one of the things when you were saying that you said that just made me kind of chuckle, was you said, you were talking about all these different instruments, and you're like, it's not that hard. And I was chuckling because Martin walks in the studio, and I'm like, all these things that I don't know how to do is still here after being on the air for 2 years. And I was asking him questions, and he's like, it's not that hard. Oh, it's not that hard. Oh, it's not that hard. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe not for you.
Well, that's my approach to life. It's not that hard.
I like that. But you do seem to pick things up really quickly. Okay, so when did you start, like, What was the first time you performed in front of other people?
I guess that would probably be maybe my junior. Yeah, I think it's probably my junior year of high school. I was in a couple different bands in high school. Three.
Wait, were you in band?
No, well, for
or in bands, which is more cool. Yeah, bands.
For a short while, I think it was in junior high. I think it was junior high. I played like snare drum
in
the school band, you know, just standing there. You have to hold it the right way and all that. But the first time I actually did my own music was with a band that I was in high school. It was called Mild Euphoria. Mm-hmm. And they were having days on the green. It was like every Thursday they would have like a band from school, like, play out on the grass during lunchtime. And so we had like a 40-minute set or something like that.
At school? At high school? Oh, would be nerve-wracking.
Yeah, so that was my first time just playing some acoustic guitar.
Were you comfortable or nervous?
Oh, no, I've always been comfortable performing.
Yeah, you seem completely comfortable.
Yeah, and, you know, when I was a little kid, I used to do a lot of theater. And so, you know, I was always an actor and always enjoyed being up on stage and, you know, being in front of the public was never a problem for me.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I guess I was probably 16 years old at the time. And, yeah, just a 40-minute set. That was the only time that band, like, ever, quote, performed somewhere. You know, we used to rehearse a lot and just play together a lot, but that was probably our only actual gig that we ever had.
I love that. So where did you take it from there? Like, I know one of the many things that's fascinating to me about you is that you're a musician, you're an artist, you're a professor, it goes on and on and on, the things that you do. So how did your life progress from there? What decisions did you make with your creativity?
Oh, well,
I know that's a big question, isn't it?
Well, as soon as I got into music, I've just always been making music. So since I was 14 or 15.
So you never stopped. It's always.
No. I've always made music.
That's awesome.
And it really was when I was in my second year of college when I got a 4-track tape recorder. Then I started actually really recording my own music. Well, I used to do it before then, but the sound quality was terrible because I'd sit there and I'd record like a rhythm guitar part. And then I'd play that tape and then put it into another tape player while I'm playing another instrument with that.
Oh.
And so then I'd do the bass line. And so then I'd have the rhythm guitar and the bass, and then I'd feed that back into another tape player with another instrument. And by the time you get to the completed song, like, the sound quality is just garbage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then,
how do you record your music now?
All on the computer.
You, because I was it's listening to yours again yesterday, because I was painting again yesterday. I was listening to that song again, and I was wondering that, because it sounds to me. Let's talk about that for a second. The song I'm talking about is Eagle Quest. We're going to play it at the end of the show today. I want everyone to hear it. And that song spoke to me so much for the video that I was trying to create about this certain concept of learning to, like, find my own wings and let go. And your song is. Oh, my God. I cannot wait for you to see the video, which I'm still editing, Martin, because it is beautiful. His song says the whole thing, because it's almost like right at the beginning, and you go into, I believe it's flute. It's after about 17 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point where you know, I find my wings. But you played like three different instruments that I videotaped you at. And so I could tell, oh, my God, he's playing like all the different parts of the song. Is that correct? Is everything on that song you?
Yes, that's the same with all my music. Yeah.
It's amazing to me. So you record it in certain sections, but you record it now on the computer.
Yeah, so everything's done digitally on the computer, and different songs start in different places, meaning some songs I start with the chords on the guitar, and then other songs I start with a keyboard part or a drum part, or, you know, there's lots of different ways to start a song. And then it's like making a cake. You're just layering it. Or sometimes I refer to it as a body, that first you got to get the bones. And that would just be whatever the main rhythm instrument is, whether it's a keyboard part or a guitar part, that first put that down. And those are usually chords. And then from there, I'll build a drum beat around that. Then usually go to bass next, and then work on kind of ornamental rhythm sections, and then kind of start dividing the song into different sections. Even if it's just the same four chords over and over again, there still will be like a chorus and a verse, you know, where you add in different instruments to change the feel of the song. And then usually it's the lead instruments that come in last, either be lead keyboard or lead guitar or flute or something like that. And most of my songs probably have between 10 and 20 tracks of instruments. You know, it depends on the song.
Yeah. The song takes me on a journey, and to me that is what, when I like music the most, is when I go on a journey when I'm listening to it. Do you write it like intending that? Like, is there something in your mind when the music is coming to you? Are you thinking of a certain thing, or?
Not usually. I'm just listening, and you know, most of the songs that I record, I have no idea what I'm going to do when I sit down and turn on the computer. I'm just in the mood to make music. And so I just sit there and I just mess around for a while till I find something that I like, and then just start building a song around that. But my overall goals with music is I want to make something that's captivating, something that's beautiful, and something that has nice melodies. That for me is what's interesting about music. And also because I'm mainly an instrumental musician and composer, that I want to make music that's captivating on its own. I don't want the song to feel like it's missing something because it doesn't have lyrics. So that, you know, there's a lot of different lead instruments and things that I use. And I like music to be dramatic.
Yes, yours is. That's what one of the things I love about it. I've talked to some people about that as far as what music I'm drawn to, like when I'm painting. And I like passion is how I describe it, but dramatic is another way to say it. Like, I like the highs and lows. And when you were describing the way you do your music, it's like abstract expressionism, which is what I paint in music form. Like, that's how you're creating is how I create paintings. That's really cool. I got kind of sidetracked because I was so excited to talk about the video. And wait till you guys see this, by the way, because the video that I took of Martin, he brought three of his instruments up to the top of Mount Ashland.
Mm-hmm.
It was much colder than I was expecting.
It was frosty that day.
It was frosty. And he's like, I don't think I can do another take. I can't move my fingers. And actually I did two takes of each of the instruments, and I really only needed to do one because the scenery and you playing, it was so beautiful. I can't wait for people to see this. And I'm actually actually going to post it by Sunday, so you'll be able to see that video. It will be cammydavis.com, cammydavis.com. Is one of the places you'll be able to see it. And of course, I'll be posting it to Art on the Airwaves as well. But I got sidetracked because we started talking about it. And I want to go back to where we were talking about your creative journey, like how it progressed.
Yeah, well, in high school, mostly I was playing like alternative style music and then kind of started getting into reggae music. And so by the time I got to college, had formed a reggae band at Occidental College. And that only lasted for about a year because two of the members of the band ended up moving away. Then also got into an acoustic guitar duet, which is kind of like coffee house style alternative music with this guy, Kevin Feely, who's still making music out there as well. He still is in Southern California. There's the phone. By the way, if you're calling, when we're talking, we can't answer the phone because we're talking on the radio. You can just turn down the ringer on that. Yeah. Thank you for calling, caller, but we are speaking on the radio. And then it was my friend Kevin who introduced me to the concept of the four-track tape recorder, which is specifically designed for recording music, which splits tracks on the tape so that you can record multiple instruments and it preserves the sound quality. And then you can bounce things around. But that's when I really started composing in earnest at that point. And then it was later when I got into graduate school. No, after graduate. It was all the way after graduate school that my friend Kevin again invited me down to his place in Santa Monica, and he had Pro Tools, which was the first digital recording program that I'd ever come across. And he let me know that, you know, this is a professional program, and he said, but there's a free copy available. So I downloaded that, and then, so that was in the year 2000, and that's when I converted into digital music recording, which is much, much easier than using tape, because you can treat it kind of like a word processor. You know, you can take just edit out little bits that you want to edit out, and you can move things around. Like if you have a guitar solo at the beginning of the song that you think would sound better at the end of the song, you just drag it to where you want it and it snaps right into place. So it's just a wonderful tool. And then through digital software, if you get a MIDI keyboard, then that gives you access to all kinds of digital instruments. And a lot of the ones that I work with are sampled instruments. So I have access to a full symphony orchestra, choirs, instruments from around the world. But and it's not just a digital facsimile. It's actually the instrument has been recorded and the audio has been stored in the computer. And then you can access that through the keyboard, through the synthesizer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Now, I know you have a bunch of upcoming shows, like a bunch. Like, Martin is busier than anyone I know. You just traveled a couple of places out of the country, and then you were back, and it just keeps going on. So let's talk about your upcoming shows, though, for people who want to listen.
Yeah, well, tonight for First Friday, I'm going to be playing music at Snow Panatin's Place, which is at 125 Sherman Street, just a little bit off from downtown Ashland, and that's from 5 to 8 tonight. And my friend Brom Lightborn is going to be playing with me, and my wife Jesselyn will be coming and singing a few songs that we do together. So that's a 3-hour gig, 5 to 8 p.m. tonight. And then tomorrow, another band that I play with, Zee Ensemble, is having a live music ecstatic dance at the Haven. And it's actually burn night, meaning that Saturday night is the night that the man gets burned at Burning Man.
Oh,
which
burn night.
Yeah. And so we're going to be projecting the live video stream from Burning Man onto the walls of the Haven so that anybody who didn't make it out to Burning Man this year, like myself, can still enjoy the burning of the man.
Oh my God.
And we'll be playing music for that, and that'll be a lot of fun.
That's really cool.
And then next Saturday, also at the Haven, from 8:30 to 10 p.m., I'm going to be having a CD release party that I recorded a new album at the beginning of the summer.
I thought I saw you had a new album.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing a CD release party for that, and that's going to start with a half an hour acoustic sound journey. We'll all just be playing a variety of acoustic instruments and kind of improvising for a half an hour, let people space out. And then we'll also be having some fractal art projections up on the wall for that. And then from 9 to 10, I'll be playing songs songs off of the new album, where I'll be playing guitar with electronic backing tracks from the album. And my friend Matthew Target will be doing a dance performance for the first song, and another friend, Zachariah, is going to be doing some projection mapping for Matt's dance, and then also just doing some visual projections for the remainder of the show. So it's kind of going to be a multimedia show.
Oh my God. And we have not even had a chance to talk about Martin's art, which means Martin's going to need to come back on my show sometime next year. Hopefully I can get him on and we can talk more, and maybe I'll be able to get him to bring like the didgeridoo or flute or something mm-hmm. in here as well. Although the throat acoustics was so cool, as was the guitar. Martin, I want to send people out by letting them know, because a lot of the listeners are not local, so they cannot go and listen to you local, sadly. But if they want your new CD, or if they want the one with Eagle Quest, how do people find that?
Well, my main webpage is martinball.net, martinball.net. And there you can find pretty much all the different things that I do. And there's a link on that webpage that has all my music, which is available through CD Baby, and it's also on iTunes, and I also have music on Bandcamp and SoundCloud, and pretty much anywhere you find digital music that I have music out there. I have many, many different albums available, and they're all pretty different because I change musical styles kind of all the time.
So I
encourage people just to listen around and find what you like, because a lot of it's very different. My most recent album is called Lucidium, and it's more of an alternative dream pop style collection of songs. The one before that was called Dimensional Masters of the Translucent. That's the one that has Eagle Quest on it. And that's more of an electronic dance music, kind of down tempo sort of CD. And then I've got a bunch of other ones that are totally different from that as well.
Well, I can't wait to listen to it. And thank you so much for being on Art on the Airwaves.
Yeah, thanks for having
Martin.
Me on.
And if you can help me put up Eagle Quest, and we're going to send you guys out with this gorgeous song.
Yeah, so just take your mouse and drag that song over to the top of the playlist on the right.
Over here?
Yeah, just throw it right in there.
And then I need to turn this on?
Turn that on and turn the volume up.
Okay,
on the computer.
Thank you for listening to Art on the Airwaves with Cammie Davis.
Thanks for having me, Cammie.
Thank you. And thank you to both of our guests, Colin Pulp and Martin Ball. And let's see. Do I have it? Oh. Cammie learning something new. Thanks for listening to Art on the Airwaves with Cammie Davis.